month. A startled look came into Ned Beaumont's dark eyes. He took his arm out of the shorter man's hand and stepped back. Then a corner of his mouth twitched under his dark mustache, and he said, "It's a bad time, Walt, and, well, you'll save yourself disappointment by not looking for much before November." His eyes were narrow again and watchful.
But if you tell him,
I'll put it to him as hot as I can, and you ought to know he'll go the limit, but he's in a tough spot right now." He moved his shoulders, and his face became gloomy except for the watchful brightness of his eyes. Ivans wet his lips and blinked his eyes many times. He drew in a long breath and patted Ned Beaumont's chest with both hands.
Go up now, he said in an urgent, pleading voice. I'll wait here for you.
2. Ned Beaumont went upstairs, lighting a thin, green-dappled cigar. At the second-floor landing where the governor's portrait hung, he turned towards the front of the building and knocked on the broad oaken door that shut off the corridor at that end. When he heard Paul Madvig's, "All right," he opened the door and went in. Paul Madvig was alone in the room, standing at the window with his hands in his trouser pockets, his back to the door, looking through the screen down into dark China Street. He turned around slowly and said, "Oh, here you are." He was a man of 45, tall as Ned Beaumont, but 40 pounds heavier without softness. His hair was light, parted in the middle, and brushed flat to his head. His face was handsome in a ruddy, stout-featured way. His clothes were saved from flashiness by their quality and by his manner of wearing them. Ned Beaumont shut the door and said, "Lend me some money." From his inner coat pocket, Madvig took a large brown wallet.
"What do you want?"
"Couple of hundred." Madvig gave him $100 bill and 5 20s, asking,
"Craps?"
"Thanks." Ned Beaumont pocketed the money. "Yes."
"It's a long time since you've done any winning, isn't it?"
Madvig asked as he returned his hands to his trouser pockets.
"Not so long, a month or 6 weeks."
Madvig smiled.
"That's a long time to be losing."
"Not for me." There was a faint note of irritation in Ned Beaumont's voice. Madvig rattled coins in his pocket.
"Much of a game tonight?"
He sat on a corner of the table and looked down at his glistening brown shoes. Ned Beaumont looked curiously at the blond man, then shook his head and said, "Pee-wee." He walked to the window. Above the buildings on the opposite side of the street, the sky was black and heavy. He went behind Madvig to the telephone and called a number.
"Hello, Bernie. This is Ned. What's the price on Peggy O'Toole?"
"Is that all? Well, give me 500 of each."
"Sure."
"Well, I'm betting it's going to rain, and if it does, she'll beat Incinerator."
"All right, give me a better price then."
"Right." He put the receiver on its prong and came around in front of Madvig again. Madvig asked,
"Why don't you try laying off a while when you hit one of these sour streaks?"
Ned Beaumont scowled.
"That's no good, only spreads it out. I ought to have put that 1500 on the nose instead of spreading it across the board. Might as well take your punishment and get it over with."
Madvig chuckled and raised his head to say,
"If you can stand the gaff."
Ned Beaumont drew down the ends of his mouth, the ends of his mustache following them down. "I can stand anything I've got to stand," he said, as he moved towards the door. He had his hand on the doorknob when Madvig said earnestly,
"I guess you can at that, Ned."
Ned Beaumont turned around and asked,
"Can what?"
fretfully. Madvig transferred his gaze to the window.
"Can stand anything," he said.
Ned Beaumont studied Madvig's averted face. The blond man stirred uncomfortably and moved coins in his pockets again. Ned Beaumont made his eyes blank and asked in an utterly puzzled tone,
"Who?"
Madvig's face flushed. He rose from the table and took a step towards Ned Beaumont.
"You go to hell," he said.
Ned Beaumont laughed. Madvig grinned sheepishly and wiped his face with a green-bordered handkerchief.
"Why haven't you been out to the house?"
he asked.
"Mom was saying last night she hadn't seen you for a month."
"Maybe I'll drop in some night this week."
"You ought to. You know how Mom likes you. Come for supper."
Madvig put his handkerchief away. Ned Beaumont moved towards the door again, slowly, watching the blond man from the ends of his eyes. With his hand on the knob, he asked,
"Was that